Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and today we're talking about the cycle of our development, how we evolve over the course of our lives. So, you know, as we age, from the moment we're born, we grow and we change physically, right? We get taller, you know, all sorts of changes happen, but that doesn't stop, right? That doesn't stop once you reach adulthood. Changes keep happening. Your body keeps changing. The physical changes keep happening through your 30s, through your 40s, through your 50s, through your 60s, through your 70s, and your 80s, and your 90s. And for those of you out there who are lucky enough to be over 100, boy, I want to talk to you. So definitely hit me up at the site because I would love to learn from you. But the changes just keep happening. Our bodies change continually over the course of our lives, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse, but they keep changing, don't they? They never stop changing. And similarly, physically, if we want to enact change physically, we can do that, right? We can lift weights. We can do cardio, right? And we can choose to enact changes in our body through diet and exercise. So some of this change happens naturally, and some of this change we choose to make happen. Okay. So similarly, we also grow and change continually over the course of our lives emotionally, socially, intellectually, religiously, and spiritually. And I'm gonna mark a line here between religiously and spiritually. Slight difference there. So this happens continually, and some of this evolution, emotionally, intellectually, religiously, spiritually, happens quite naturally, and some of this evolution you can choose to enact, right? So you can make a conscious decision to forward your development, or you can let it happen naturally, but it is happening. It is evolving all the time, whether you're aware of it or not. So you can choose to be aware and help it, or you can choose to just let it happen, and that's fine too. So just as our bodies never stop changing, we never stop evolving along these other aspects as well. Self-development is happening whether we know it or not, all the time. Now, several people have published really solid research in this area. I'm going to name a few, and you can go look them up. Keegan has done fantastic research on social development, and his was based on yet another famous researcher out there, and many people have since based their work on Keegan and the people that he based his on. And if you read them about social development, you get very similar definitions of stages of social development. So I mostly pulled from Keegan because they're all very, you know, roughly the same. Religious and spiritual development, Fowler, F-O-W-L-E-R. Fowler did a lot of work in religious development, and is very good, and he has the stages of religious development. And there are many others out there who have put up blog posts about spiritual development. I haven't seen any hardcore research, proper scientific method research on spiritual development, but I've read enough of other people's opinions about how the spiritual development aspect happens that you see the same stages coming through. So there's really good work out there. I encourage you to go check it out. I won't repeat their work here, but I noticed that the social development stages of Keegan and the religious development stages of Fowler and the spiritual development stages of several others, plus my own thoughts on it, all linked up perfectly if you line them up. They're not identical, but they link up, they overlap with each other. So for example, Fowler's work on religious development picks up at about stage 5. No. It does have overlap, but it's off a little bit. And then the spiritual development picks up at about stage 5 or 6 of the social and religious development. So I noticed that if I lined them up, I could create one cohesive series of stages that encompassed social, religious, and spiritual development all at the same time. And so if I line them up, I found a sequence of 11 stages of development that kind of has it all, right? So this is the one series of development stages to rule them all. And as much as we would like to think that our journey and as that the ways in which we evolve over time are unique, they're really, really not. That was a big takeaway that I took from this piece of research. We all go through the same 11 stages. Sometimes we skip some. Sometimes we leave some incomplete. We are pushed into later stages through things like midlife crisis and other major life events. And we often end up in something kind of the later stages by the time we depart this world. Now, not everybody gets all the way to stage 11. That is to say, I think there are plenty of people who skip that stage over and over and over. Not a lot of people spend a lot of time in the later stages. Here's the really big deal. These steps or these stages, when you take a look at the work from Fowler, from Keegan, from others, there are some awesome representation of this. They tend to portray it as a staircase or a race or a road, something to achieve, a destination, right? And we so tend to want to check off the boxes, like, okay, I achieved that stage, now I'm going to get to the next stage. And then I achieve that stage and I get to the next one. And people will say, well, it doesn't exactly work like that. It's kind of two steps forward, one step back. You're like, okay, right? But you still feel like you're moving forward in some kind of competition, right? It's some sort of scout badge you have to achieve and get to stage 11 and stay there forever. But that's not how it works. I think this may be wrong, and I want to introduce a different idea. First, it is not a straight line or a staircase. These 11 stages are not a straight line or a staircase. No one stage is lesser or greater than any other. They are all very important. They are all necessary. So if you are spending a lot of time in an earlier stage, that does not make you lesser than someone who is spending a lot of time in a later stage. That's just where you need to be right now. And if you don't complete the stage you're in, you're not going to be able to spend more time in the later stages. So it's important work in every stage. But here's the big deal. It's a circle. It's a circle that we traverse over and over, around and around, as the slings and arrows of life cause us to skip or leave incomplete certain steps, and they return us to others. This cycle of our development has been a massive epiphany for me. It has been key to helping me understand personally why people do what they do and how to help them get to a stage where they may find more peace and joy and to spend as much time in that stage of peace and joy as possible. So let me give you the short version of this cycle. And I want you to see how it wraps back around on itself at the end. And there's a picture. I made a color-coded cycle slide for this that is in the blog post, so go check that out. So here it is. So stage one is the newborn stage. You're brand new into this world. You believe that everything is me. Nothing is separate from me. Right, the concept that the mom and dad are separate from you has not come to you yet. When you first come into this world as an infant, you believe that everything is you, that nothing is separate from you. And that's how you define yourself everything is me. In the second stage, you start to parse that out and say reflexes and experiences are not me, but everything else is. And you start to assess the universe or the divine or God as being not you. And you also make a determination as to whether or not this universe and the divine are safe or unsafe. If you had a bad childhood, you might see the universe as unsafe. If you had a bad religious experience, you might see the divine as unsafe. Or you might, if you had good experiences, you might see this universe as a safe place, and religion as, or your deity as a safe thing. But it's important to understand how you look at that. But details, we'll get into that in another podcast. So that's stage two. You start to parse that out. Reflexes are not me. Experiences are not me. And the universe, the divine, God, Allah, is not me. Okay, in stage three, you define yourself based on your needs. You say, I am my needs. I need food. I need a cookie, right? This is, you tend to be about 2 years old when you get here. The terrible twos are based on the fact, they call them the little dictator, right? This is the little dictator stage because you have wants, which you will determine as being needs, and getting those needs filled is all you care about. And at this point, other people are not seen as other people to you. They're seen as mechanisms to help you fill your needs. Think of a toddler. And this is a very annoying stage for others around you because you're very focused on your needs and you are oblivious to the fact that others have needs too. And you just want others to help you fulfill your needs. Some people, I swear, full-grown adults have still not gotten out of this stage. But it's an important stage to go through, and you have to go through this stage because you have to get to a point where you can identify what your needs are, and you do have to attend to your needs, and later you learn not to be an asshole about it. So also in the stage of I am my needs, you learn and accept religion through stories. Right? This is when Sunday school gets really kind of popular and interesting. And you sit there and you listen to the stories and you go, okay, yeah. And you just sort of accept it. Anything that comes to you through a story, you like that, you accept that. And it's all good. Okay, stage four. Stage four is what I call others have needs too. This is where it dawns on you that the people around you, which you see as a mechanism to help you fill your needs, they have needs too. And that if you help them fill their needs, they will help you fill your needs. And it becomes this exchange and this give and take. And they start to appear more human to you. Now, they are their needs and you are your needs. But at least you understand that there is utility for you in helping other people fulfill their needs as well. Now, it gets hard at this stage to prioritize. How do you prioritize? Should you put their needs first? Should you put your needs first? And this gets to be a great struggle. And we revisit these stages, remember, over and over through the course of your life. And there are maybe periods in your life where you martyr yourself to fulfill other people's needs, neglecting flagrantly your own needs, right? And that's not healthy. Or there might be times where you put your own needs first, neglecting flagrantly the needs of those you love. And that's not healthy either. So this stage ensues a great battle to try to decide how to prioritize needs. Now, on the religious side of life in this stage, you would feel that your deity is just and anthropomorphic. Your deity is usually a he or a she. At this point, they are personified, right? It's an anthropomorphic deity. And you begin to interpret your religious texts very literally by the word of what's in that book. So very literal interpretation of your religious texts is another mark that you're in this stage. Okay. Stage five. is I am my ideology. Now, ideologies come in many forms, right? You could call them values, ideologies, beliefs. They could be religious, political, social, moral. It's usually a combination of these things. Because you've developed a value system in order to help you prioritize needs, right? Whose needs are you going to fulfill first, and in what order, and how are you going to prioritize people's needs? Well, a value system comes along to help you do that. And your value system might be political, moral, religious, social, or any combination of things, or your really your own random set of beliefs. But it helps you. The point of your belief system is to help you prioritize whose needs you're going to focus on first, second, third, and so on. And so then what happens is you start to identify yourself with your ideology. And I'm going to use the word ideology. You could call it value system. You could call it beliefs. But whatever combination it is. Some people will heavily identify with their religious beliefs. Some people, especially if it's election season, will heavily identify, boy, I've been there, with their political beliefs. Some people will heavily identify with some moral standards or social beliefs. So think about who you know, who right now, and it may be you, so look in the mirror, is heavy into stage five. The large majority of grown adults tend to land in this stage. And the large majority, especially in an election season, never make it past this stage. And that is unfortunate. So what happens, because what happens in this stage, although this is a critical stage to complete, if you leave it incomplete, you're going to end up circling back around to it every time there's a new election season or somebody says something that offends you. So here's the characteristics of this stage. If anybody says anything in line with your belief set, you think they're brilliant and awesome. If anybody says anything not in line with your ideology, you attack them. You feel compelled to attack them, to defend your ideology, because you are defending yourself. So if you find that you are offended by something that you read online, you are in stage five. If you feel the need to make a nasty comment about somebody whose opinion is different from you, you are in stage five. If you find that you need to surround yourself in a bubble, in an echo chamber of your ideology, and you soak in it, headlines, posts, you're going to stay in stage five. You're never going to get out of it because you're just surrounding yourself with this stuff. But that's what stage five is. I am my ideology. This is a really super important stage to go through, right? Every single one of these stages is really, really important. But people can tend to act, to behave badly online when they are spending time in this stage. And remember, you come back to it, right? Round and around and around. So you will often feel offended when someone questions your ideology, and you will attack or judge others who have different ideologies because your sense of self is based around your ideology. Okay, stage six. Stage six is the first major step towards the sense of oneness. And it's a stage in which people get a lot more calm and a lot more peaceful. So stage six is, I can see how others might have a different ideology from me. I see them as their ideology and I am my ideology, but I could see how growing up the way they did, in the environment that they did, and having the experiences that they did, I can see how they would end up believing that. So it's as opposed to in stage five, you go, though, how can those idiots believe that nonsense, right? Instead, in stage six, it's more of, I see how they could end up thinking that. I get that. I don't agree with them, but I can see where they're coming from. And it's in this stage that you tend to reflect on the complexity and the inconsistencies in your own ideology, right? You'll kind of look at your own ideology and go, yeah, I can see how they would question, how somebody else who didn't believe that would question that. I can see the inconsistencies and the cracks in my own ideology, and I'm okay with there being some inconsistencies and some cracks. And I think that there might be something more to it all, but I no longer attack or judge others for their ideologies. Even if I might greatly disagree with them, I don't feel offended and I don't feel like I need to judge them or attack them for their ideologies. And this is an important stage because you get this little glimpse of, I think there might be something more, but you're not yet willing to go look for it. Okay, stage 7, next. You get so frustrated with the inconsistencies in your various ideologies. It might be inconsistencies in your religious ideology or your political ideology or social ideology, I don't know, whatever it is. You get so frustrated with those inconsistencies that you reject all ideologies outright. Screw them all. And you start questioning everything. Now, this is usually called midlife crisis. Some people lately, I hear we're getting a quarter life crisis in your mid-20s. If that's you, that sucks. Let me know. A midlife or a quarter life, I don't care. But at any point when you go through an ideological crisis in your life, it sucks. But it can be a fantastic gateway to real growth and an amazing life. So understand that if you're in the middle of that, you are in an important stage, and this is a good thing. Now, stage 7, in which you reject everything, you reject all ideologies because you're just so frustrated with the inconsistencies in all of them, and questioning everything, is a dangerous stage to be in. Because in this stage, you will tend to be more reckless. You will tend to make some very bad decisions. And you need to be very careful, right? You need to recognize that you're in this stage and that it's an important stage. And it's good to question everything because answers will come. But you also need to guard your decision-making very carefully in this stage. So you'll be trying on all sorts of different ideologies, trying to find one that fits, and nothing fits, and it's a just really frustrating stage to be in. So I'm sorry if you're there, but it's a very important stage. On the other side of this stage is stage 8, where it's defined as, I see that all ideologies are partly true, and I can see the interdependent truth at the heart of them all. I still feel like there's something more out there, but I surrender to not knowing everything yet. So back in stage 7, when you're frustrated and you're rejecting all ideologies and you're trying on new ideologies, and you find the cracks in those and you throw that one away, and you get so frustrated because it's like you're seeking one ideology that is true. And the frustration comes because there isn't one. Every ideology you pick up has cracks and inconsistencies, and that's frustrating, and you keep throwing them away. And what changes is you start to realize not to throw them away, but instead in each one is some bit of truth. So around the cracks and the inconsistencies are some good pieces, are some pieces of truth that you could take. And if you took the pieces from each ideology that was true and that was kind of common to them all, then you get down to this interdependent truth that's across all ideologies. What is at the real base of all these ideologies that is true no matter what? Now you're onto something, and now that's comforting. So instead of rejecting all the ideologies, you're looking at the bits and pieces of all of them that are the same. And it's more integrative. So you can see the truth at the heart of all of the ideologies. And you still feel like there's more out there, but at least you kind of give up trying to find the entire truth right now, and you are happy with the idea that the truth will come. And you kind of relax and let it come. So then in stage 9, you see people, places, and things as one coherent whole under the principles and love and of love and justice. This is, sounds so woo-woo, even if it's coming out of my mouth, but this is the best way to describe it. You get to a point, so you start to see what's common amongst ideologies, then you start to see what's common amongst people and humanity, then you start to see what's common amongst the rest of the world in this environment that we're in, and you start to see what's common amongst the people and the planet and the ideologies, and it all starts to kind of look the same. It all starts to kind of feel the same, and this oneness starts to emerge out of that. So you get to this point of coherent whole, and there's a huge thing that happens in stage 9, which is where the recognition that there is no self. So up until this point, you've been trying to define yourself, right? So I am my needs. Others have needs too, but I am my needs. I am my ideology, right? Then you get to a point of I am a child of God. I am a child of the universe. I am a child of the divine. And eventually you get to, I am not. There is no self. These are constructed, right? I am a consciousness in this body. And I see how my thoughts affect my reality. This is an exciting stage to be in. And you can sit there and you can feel yourself as this silent observer inside your own body, right? I am the consciousness inside this body. And you can play with how your thoughts affect your reality. Then in the next stage, if you keep studying it and you keep thinking about it, you keep letting the truth come, you get to stage 10. I am the one consciousness in this body. The idea that my consciousness is not separate from your consciousness, is not separate from somebody. We are not separate consciousnesses inside separate bodies. We are one consciousness in these bodies. And I can access infinite wisdom in this moment. In this moment, this is not a unique idea. In this moment is infinite information about this moment. So at this moment, the truth of whatever you could want to know is available to you in this moment. So if you can make yourself present, Jesse Elder calls it cosmic Google. That's such a great way to characterize it. Ask your questions and get answers. And that's a very exciting stage to be in because you can find out anything you want to know. And you can begin to dictate your reality. Not just I see how my thoughts affect my reality, but I am going to start dictating my reality. And that's a lot of fun. And then if you keep thinking on it and keep working on it, you get to stage 11. I am the one consciousness and the physical manifestation simultaneously, and there is no difference. Energy and matter are one. We knew that. Einstein, E equals mc squared. Energy is matter. Matter is energy. It's all energy, and it's all me. This is a very cool stage to be in. Lots of peace. Lots of joy. I actively and consciously create my reality while still rooted in the joy of this human existence. So it's not about denying your human existence or trying to escape your human existence or transcend this body. It's about being this physical manifestation, this human experience, and enjoying that and creating that reality actively and consciously, and using that as a conduit for yet fully reinforcing this oneness that you feel. The irony is how we develop through this cycle only to end up right back where we began. Remember stage 1, I am everything. Everything is me. I am not separate from anything. You come into this world with the right idea and society teaches it out of you. And then you have to do all this work to come back around to the right idea. So that's crazy. All right, so back to the stages. So I've numbered them to show the order 1 through 11. But don't take that to mean that one stage is more or less than another. We proceed around and around this cycle more times than I can count. Why? Because if we could complete childhood and hide in the forest, contemplating the nature of life and the divine, we might be able to proceed through stages cleanly and remain in stage 11 until the end of our days. But that is not most of us. We have lives, we have jobs, we have kids, we have hobbies, we have dreams, we have goals, we have fear, and life just keeps coming. Injuries, hospitalizations, divorces, death in the family, midlife crisis. So around we go, around we go. In each stage, there are important tasks and questions that we can use to help ourselves reach the next stage and spend more time in later stages, and to pull ourselves out of earlier stages when we find ourselves once again focused only on our needs or only on our ideologies. But for now, just try to recognize which stage you're in mostly these days. Right? Recently, now do not judge yourself. Be honest with yourself. It's okay, because whatever stage you're in these days, you need to be. So try to honestly assess, where am I spending, what stage am I spending most of my time in these days? And how can I maybe get to something a little further along? Would you prefer to be in a different stage? What stage do you want to be in most of the time? And what do you want for yourself in terms of this path of self-evolution? So think about that. And we're going to be talking a lot more about this cycle and what it means over the coming months and probably years, because this is a big deal. Check out the image on the blog, and I'll, of course, at the website, give me your thoughts, opinions, etc. Just get registered at KatherineColleen.com to join the conversation, and we will see you next time.